Welcome to Your Next Mission, the nation's number one video podcast on military transition and leadership. We tell the stories of those who served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition and financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now, here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. This month, June, is National PTSD Awareness Month. Over the past decade, no organization has done more than Cohen Veteran Network to help post-9/11 veterans, active duty military, and their families deal with PTSD and other mental health challenges. We'll talk with our guest today about the progress Cohen Veteran Network has made in treating PTSD and as they mark their 10th year anniversary. But before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USAA, where we take care of our own. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FFP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FFP Vision, together they make Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. Our guest today is Dr. Mary Beth Goodman, Clinic Director at the Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinic at Alaska Behavioral Health, and Brigadier General retired Michael P. Fleming, Senior Manager of Community Relations for the Cohen Veteran Network. Welcome back to the show. I know you guys have been on here quite a bit, but welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Fantastic.
We were talking just a minute ago. This is your third time you two have been on the show together. What's going on up there? I mean, you guys have got a pretty powerful team out there. So the people that haven't seen the previous episodes, would each one of you tell just a little bit about yourself? And Mary Beth, we'll start with you.
Sure. So I have the privilege to serve up here in the great state of Alaska, and we run the Cohen Clinics up here. We serve service members, veterans, and their families, but I am a practicing I'm a practicing therapist who works specifically with trauma. I have two beautiful children and an amazing husband who retired out 5 years ago. I also grew up as an Army brat.
Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. And you have a retired sergeant. I guess it was a sergeant, right? That retired.
You know, I'm probably going to get some things thrown at me, sir. But no, my husband retired out as an 06 combat veteran.
Okay. He did pretty good. He stood up there. All right. General Fleming, go ahead, sir. Tell the audience just a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks. And that's a great thing about our network. We're literally coast to coast and more. I'm in Florida. My dad was actually a sailor in the Navy, and my mom in Jacksonville, Florida. So I'm one of the few native Floridians. Military background, I was enlisted an officer in the Marine Corps, and Sergeant Major, you probably agree, I came to my senses and transferred to the Army. And then I had about 24 years of active and 11 National Guard and Reserve. My last duty position, I was the Assistant Adjutant General for the Florida Army National Guard. And I have the blessing to be the Senior Manager for Community Relations for Cohen Veterans Network. I have the most fun job in the entire network because I get to work with each of our clinics really to help them connect with the community. And then really to do things like this is talk about, you know, how we can and help military members and their families. I'm blessed with a great wife, two great children, and two great grandchildren I dote on. And so I have to keep working because I have grandchildren. So
well, look, sir, and Mary Beth, just to let you know, I have five great grandbabies. And I'll probably work until I just sort of fall over or something like that. Hey, Mary Beth, for anyone who isn't familiar with Cohen Veteran Network, would you, you know, give us an overview of the, you know, Cohen Veteran Network, you know, what you do and who you serve. And you talked a little bit about it just a few minutes ago, but tell us a little bit more about that.
Sure. So we are a nationwide and soon to be overseas wide nonprofit chain of outpatient mental health clinics. We specifically serve service members, veterans, and their families unique part about this 23 clinic network is that we serve those who served and those who serve those who serves. So think about those families who are going to remote places and might take a member of their family who traditionally wouldn't be covered by TRICARE or some of those other payment sources. We get to serve them here. So what we like to say is, if you wore the uniform for one day, or if you serve those who serve, we've got your back.
Well, you know, just to throw something else on there, what I really like about you guys, you help the families, and also you help people that are non-families that maybe are associated with a veteran that maybe need some assistance. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We recognize that it takes a village. The military has been saying this for years. The military community is so strong. The veteran community is so strong. We need to be serving that community and strengthening it. And really and truly, the military members and the veteran members get to decide who that community is.
Yeah, yeah.
And we really want to carry that mission forward in what we do.
Yeah, it's so important to find the right tribe or find where you fit in and talk to the people that make you feel comfortable. Hey, sir, okay, here you go. We're going to ask you a question. You ready?
All right,
Mary Beth said, don't pick on you too much. That's you today. All right. Hey, so those three clinics, or those clinics that she was mentioned, are brand new, aren't they? And you know, aren't they brand new? And I guess where are they at? Where are the new ones at?
Yeah. As Mary Beth briefly talked about, we just opened a clinic in Manhattan, Kansas, right outside of Fort Riley. As you know, Sergeant Major, the Big Red One, 1st Infantry Division is there. And so we open up there. We love Manhattan. They call themselves the Little Apple in Kansas. It's fantastic, and the community has really embraced this. And we're really excited about international, and we'll be opening up a clinic this year in South Korea and in Japan on U.S. military installations. All of our current clinics, none of them are on base. These are going to be specifically on U.S. military bases in Japan and South Korea. We're going to start with two. We hope to have five. And because, as you know, Sergeant Major, there's a lot of challenges serving overseas. And when your family's there, you know, you can't normally just go out into the community and get any kind of mental health services like you can here in the United States. So we're very excited about that. Athes is our sponsor there.
Yeah.
And so they're really helping us get set up. We've hired a regional director. We're in the process of hiring in staff for those two. But like I said, we'll end up a total of five in South Korea and Japan, because we're always looking for different ways we can enhance our support to the military community.
You know, that's a little unusual for them to let you get on a military installation. I understand probably overseas. Do you try to do the same thing in the States, or will they let you do that in the States?
We really don't, because over there, obviously, our primary clients will be military families. So we want them to be able to be on the base. And then over here in the United States, both CONUS and also Hawaii and Alaska, where Mary Beth is, we like having it off base, because it's sometimes hard for veterans or military family members or caregivers to get access to the base. So we really want to be, and so, of course, our active duty service members, their families can easily come to our clinics.
Yeah, boy, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, Mary Beth, how does the expansion ultimately benefit you or your clients in Alaska, as well as, you know, other networks around the country there?
Sure. You know, I'm so taken away with 10 years ago when the network started, we were playing catch up. It was about receiving members after they had already had traumatic events, after they had already really kind of felt alone in a mental health world without a product like the amazing services Cohen Veterans Network has to really serve this community specifically. And so over the past 10 years, we've not only become experts in trauma-based care and anxiety and depression, we've also become experts in receiving the SMVF community. And this is the first time in the history of the network, but I also think, and I want to speak pretty big here, in history, besides the VA, that there's been a system that's ready to receive these individuals at the point where they're coming out of. And so getting these services overseas, opening these new clinics, making sure that we're telling people that there are services everywhere and there's experts on board to help you with whatever it is you're going through from a mental health perspective, I think it just makes our job as clinicians so much easier. Because the reality is instead of, like, kind of, you know, the expression of driving the bus as it's going down the road,
We're
putting some new pinstripes on it, and we're reupholstering it from time to time to make sure it's great, giving it a tune-up, But our bus is going down the road and it's doing great things. And so this expansion is just amazing for us. Yeah.
Well, one of the things I like to ask you is I think I talked to you a while ago about this. I wish we'd start talking about the effects of war before we ever go to war. Because I think you know my story. You know, I come out of Vietnam, had anger issues for a few years, really struggled for quite a while. I don't know if I've ever, well, I'm probably hopefully a little bit better now, but I struggled for a while. But nobody talked about those kind of things. And I know it's a lot better now, but I've always thought if you would start telling me about those kind of things that I may, not say I would, may go through a little bit earlier, would it help or is that a good idea?
Oh, no, it absolutely would help. And let's liken it back to the physical body, because you've heard me say this a million times. Yeah. Mental health is physical health.
Absolutely.
Healthcare is healthcare is healthcare. When we're encouraging our soldiers and airmen and Coasties and Marines to do PT, we're getting out there. We're encouraging them to stretch. We're encouraging them to have good nutrition. And we're preparing their bodies to be battle ready, right? Deployment ready. Why aren't we doing that with the mind? And I think we're so much better than we ever have, but resilience is just a drop in the bucket. Having open, honest conversations about what really happens in the brain when we are traumatized. That doesn't mean we're weak. That doesn't mean we're going to fall. It simply means that, hey, this is going to happen. Let's have a cognitive conversation about what that means so that when the symptoms don't dissipate, as they sometimes do for some people, here's what you can do after. So it's almost that, like, if you sprained your ankle, you should ice and rest, but you should also get back out there, right? If you have something going on with the trauma, there's definitely things that we can do, and we need to prepare people early.
Yeah. Sir, do you want to add anything on to that?
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more because, as you know, Sergeant Major, there's an emphasis on physical ability and physical things we do in the military, which is very, very important. And as Mary Beth outlined, if you got hurt on a company run and your bone sticking out of your ankle, no one's going to say, hey, soldier, Marine, just tough it out for the rest of your life. They would think that was ridiculous. They would say, you got to go get help for that. Well, as Mary Beth has talked about, I mean, I would argue probably mental health may be even more important than physical health, because if you're not right mentally, then you're not going to, well, in the military, you're not going to perform anywhere in life. You're not going to perform. And so the great thing about our network is, as Mary Beth outlined, very holistic. We're looking at the entire veteran or the active duty member's family or what he or she considers family. So we help the families, the caregivers, everyone, because if it impacts that veteran or that active duty member's life, we want to make sure that we're offering services to their family.
Yeah, it's almost like there's distractors. I mean, you tell people when you deploy somewhere, you don't want any kind of distractors. Well, that's a huge distractor. You know, if you got those kind of issues right there. Hey, sir, I know you've been busy lately because along with the grand opening there in Kansas City Clinic, mm-hmm. you were also in Dallas celebrating the 10th. I can't believe it's been that long. 10th anniversary of the Cohen Veteran Network. Would you share with the, mm-hmm. you know, that event with the audience? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd love to do that, Sergeant Major. Briefly to talk about it was great. Within about 3 weeks, I got to attend two events. One is a grand opening, and one is a 10-year celebration, which for an organization is a real coup because, number one, for 10 years, it shows that we're viable, we're really making a difference, but it also demonstrates that we're continuing to look, how can we increase our impact? And then I talked a little bit about, we had Fort Riley in Manhattan, Kansas. The great thing about that is, we're not just an asset and resource for the Fort Riley community. When I was there in Kansas, we went over to Fort Leavenworth. We went to McConnell Air Force Base, visited with the Kansas National Guard. So we're a statewide asset for the state of Kansas for all veterans and all active duty members. And then we got to celebrate the 10-year achievements in our Dallas clinic. And Sergeant Major, I don't know if you've been to it, but there's a Medal of Honor Museum there in Dallas. It's just literally across the street from Cowboy Stadium. And it just takes your breath away. It's a really neat design. And so we wanted to have the celebration there because obviously Medal of Honor recipients have their own unbelievable stories. But we want to make sure that we're addressing, you know, everybody's story. One of the big things, and I used it in a speech just the other day, if there's one thing I could take out of any veteran talking about his or her story is the word only. Because you'll hear some people say, well, I only did this, or I only did this, or I didn't deploy. And maybe you had it, Sergeant Major, but never in my career did a president ever call me and say, hey, Mike, where do you want to go? What what should I do with this?
No.
I went where I was told. Yeah. And so I think, you know, we have some members and particularly some of our older veterans who think, well, I only did this. So therefore, if I seek treatment, yeah. I'm taking away somebody else.
Yeah.
And that's the word I would strike out of any veteran story is the word only, because if you chose to serve, you served.
Yeah. One other question. Now, I understand that milestone, you reached 100,000 clients. Is that correct? And that's like a million clinical hours, or is that correct?
Yeah, we have over 100,000 clients in these 10 years, and then we're going to deliver our 1 millionth clinical session by the end of this year. And so it's interesting. You can talk about that. And so you have those clients, over 100,000 clients, but think of the impact beyond that and the generational impact that we're making somebody, or not making, we're helping them get what we call back to better. And think of what that means to their family, to their friends, to their neighbors. And plus, and you know this, you talk about your great grandchildren, it's generational. I mean, the fact that I was in the military, you were in the military, that has a generational impact, hopefully positive. But now with all that we've served, and Mary Beth is like right in the middle of it with Alaska and all she served. So it's a tremendous milestone, but we're just using this as a foundation to do more.
Well, what does that kind of track record mean to each one of you? I mean, Mary Beth, what does that mean to you?
You know, my dad served in Vietnam. And so growing up in a home where sometimes we did walk on eggshells, we never knew what that meant. My kiddos grew up in a home with someone who deployed several times to combat situations. And it means that those eggshells that they walked on were significantly different than the eggshells. Because again, it is what it is. We've got to be honest that there is changes that occur when family members deploy and witness what they witness. But it's so much less. And it means that their kids, you know, my son's getting ready to graduate and go off to college and definitely wants a life in the military. It means that his kids are going to have an even more impactful, healthy childhood to look at their father, look at that relationship between the parent and the child as something of growth and health. So it's very personal to me, but it's always very professional to me. When I see families come in and I see a soldier in the lobby who really, you know, walked in with a chip on his shoulder, with a grimace, right? Because we all know now that anger is nothing more than an absolute beacon for help, right? When people are coming in and they're just angry, we know there's something underneath that we just need to dig at a little bit. But anger is safe. It's a safe emotion for most people. And so, or to display, right? It's not a safe emotion, but it's safe for people to go to. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, I see this big old soldier sitting on the floor playing Legos with their 4-year-old, ready to come back to a family session. It is so personal and professional to me. And it's just, it really is humbling to get to watch and get to observe.
Yeah. You know, like I said, I was in Vietnam. When you talk about people coming back from Vietnam, nobody did anything for me when I came back. And they didn't do anything for your father. And I remember coming back from Vietnam, like I said at the beginning of the show, for about 2 to 3 years, I went through things. I didn't know what I was going through. And I had those anger issues. And I remember one time I got so angry and then I stopped and I said, what's wrong with me? You know, sometimes you actually can't figure it out. And you say, how do I change those things? Did you want to say something, Mary Beth? Go ahead.
I think, you know, when we say we didn't do anything for our Vietnam vets and for our individuals who came back from the Korean conflict as well, I think it's more than that. I think we did ignore. We did bury. We did an action which was so devastating, and it led to that stigma in the field of military and mental health. And if we would have just addressed it and been able to say, hey, why are our troops coming back more angry? Why are our troops coming back with a higher substance abuse rate? If we would have at least been curious and questioning that, but I think we did something and we did ignore, and we're not doing that anymore, period. Well, and I think it's the magic of having networks like this.
Yeah, here's one last thing, and we'll let the general say something. No, that's good. That's good. The other thing is, well, it's, I love this honest dialogue, straightforward, tell the truth. That's what we need to do. But you had so many people that came into the military to stay 2 years. Basic AIT, jump school or something like that, to Vietnam, come back maybe 6 or 4 months to process it out. And they had nothing. They didn't know what was going on. So we sent people out there with 2 years in the service that were struggling. We had no earthly idea. And sometimes I think that's why we have people incarcerated. That's why we have people that are homeless. That's why we have people that unfortunately take their life by suicide. You know, and because we just didn't do those kind of things. And now, just what you just said, Mary, now we are taking care of those kind of things, or at least trying to do all we can. I think if we'd start talking about it a little bit earlier, maybe it'd make it a little, hopefully a little bit better. Sir, you want to add anything?
Yeah, this is tremendous because, you know, we have to talk honestly about things like veteran suicide.
Absolutely.
And there's different studies that talk about that one suicide affects at least 135 people. I think it's many more than that because with social media now, you know, you like when I went to high school way back when, the only way I would know anything happening with somebody in high school is if I happened to live in the same city with them or I was friends with them. Now, my son, who's in his early 30s, now can still stay in contact with people in high school and things. So when good things happen, everyone shares it. But also when bad things happen, because my son's best friend from high school lost his life to suicide. And we had, I could see an impact on people who really weren't as that close to him, to the young man who lost his life, but knew about it and got affected by it. And so everything Mary Beth's talking about, I think is phenomenal because when we talk about 100,000 plus clients, we can multiply that probably by 135 or whatever number and think of the number of people that that means that we have positively impacted their lives and made their lives better.
Yeah, I you mentioned the social media. I think social media is very positive for a lot of people, but it's also very negative sometimes, especially with young adults get on, they bully each other, they say all sorts of stuff. So it's a discussion we got to have, and we got to make people, just what you're doing, make people more aware of these kind of issues. And if they need help or somebody needs, as an issue or a problem, come visit you guys, come talk to you, at least sit down and say, hey, look, I've got an issue and maybe you can help me out a little bit. I want to say one more thing for it. I went to somebody one time, maybe not years ago, maybe about 4 or 5 years ago. And I went in to sit down with somebody that was a counselor, I guess. And after about 4 minutes, I got up and left. I said, hey, look, you can't help me. And she knew it too. And I get a lot from talking to other veterans too. So that was just a bad situation. And the reason I even say that, I want everybody that's listening, no matter who you are, there's somebody there to help you. You know, don't think you have to deal with these issues by yourself because you don't. There's people out there that certainly love you and want to help you. So if you have something that pops up and maybe it's not the best situation, don't stop there. Keep pushing a little bit. As I mentioned at the top of the show, this is National PTSD Month, Awareness Month. But we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the advances, and we've been talking about it right now, that you guys have been making in treatment with PTSD. So I know, sir, you're a good soldier, Mary Beth. Please, I thought your husband was an E7, so tell him that's a positive thing. Stay right there. I'll be right back. This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major. If you're enjoying this discussion, you got to be, because we're talking about you. You're talking about me. We're talking about all of us helping each other, doing all we can to make sure we're in a better place in life. That's what it's all about. But we got to stick together. We got to work together. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below and be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at purdueglobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do and why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Dr. Mary Beth Goodman and Brigadier General retired Michael P. Fleming from the Cohen Veteran Network. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing here on the American Freedom Foundation on behalf of our veterans and families. If you have a used vehicle you have any plans to get rid of or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate your support. Mary Beth, we talked about PTSD in the past, and I've told you before, I've suffered for it for probably over 60 years since coming back from Vietnam. Is it still the main issue that people come in for treatment?
I think it becomes one of the main issues, but what it starts at is something just isn't right. We talked a little bit about anger before. We talked a little bit about isolation, maybe a little bit more substance use. And typically what it comes down to is someone poking this person and saying, you need to talk to someone. You need to go get help. And so a lot of times when we see people at the clinics, it's an anger control issue. And then when we get into that and we get that trust and we make sure that that person is not going to walk out 4 minutes into the session, we start poking at what those underlying issues are.
Yeah.
And typically those underlying issues do come from a trauma of some sort. Not everyone has PTSD, but everyone has trauma in some way, shape, or form. And so what we're seeing within that SMVF community, and remember, like that's all, we are privileged to say this is all we see. So we at the Cohen Veterans Network get to be subject matter experts in the service member, veteran, and family community. We call it SMVF. And in that SMVF community, we are experts with that cultural competency. And so we really have the privilege to just pick a little bit more. You may have noticed I'm a little assertive in my clinical skills. And that
don't say that.
Not aggressive. But that really resonates with a lot of the individuals we serve. They don't have 2 years to sit on a couch, work through an issue with what we call supportive counseling. There's a great time and place for that, and it's a very valuable skill. But what we do is 8 to 14 weeks assertive, directed, targeted care models where we're working on one or two very poignant issues. So when that family member walks out of the office in that 8 to 14 weeks, one or two issues have diminished in severity so much that they can live their life again. And so some of the advances that we've seen in PTSD treatment is that we know that people are getting the same results better results if we're doing that targeted assertive treatment model and really getting in there with evidence-based techniques like prolonged exposure, like EMDR, like cognitive processing therapy. We have this whole menu to choose from, and we've got specialists who really can target that. If you were to go to an outpatient clinic in the general public, you'd get some really good generalists, kind of like seeing a primary care doctor. You get depression treated, you get PTSD treated, you could get, a variety of things. But if you need a specialist, you get referred to a podiatrist, you get referred to an OBGYN.
Yeah.
But maybe I would. And if you are really going through acute trauma, if you're really going through your 10th PCS and your kids just aren't adjusting well, you need a specialist in that community who can really speak to it and use the science behind it. The privilege of therapy in this day and age is we don't just shoot darts at a wall and hope something sticks. We have measurement-based care. We can predict outcomes. We can determine how much better you are. We can show you graphs of measures from when you first came in at 4 weeks, at 6 weeks, and we can show you how you're improving. Because sometimes when you're in the thick of it, it doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. Hey, Mary Beth, tell me about the follow-up. You said 14 weeks. How do you follow up with, you just don't drop them off there, do you?
Oh, no.
What do you do? No. What kind of follow-up procedures do you have?
Sure. So we have positions within our clinics called case managers, and our case managers are really force multipliers. A lot of our case managers throughout the network are licensed clinicians, and they're going to give some follow-up calls. They're going to make sure that, like, if we're having an event, we have this great event going on in Alaska right now. We're partnering with the ASY, the Armed Services YMCA, and they're down in Seward doing some combat fishing. And so we've got some case managers down there who are having conversations, who made some phone calls and said, hey, did you know about this event? We want to continue to connect you. You need to go to this website and sign up for it if you're junior enlisted. And so all of these really kind of nuanced little connection pieces that don't feel like follow-up, because while I know they're part of measures and they're part of what we do to prove our work works, they really are very genuine points of connection. We had this great group. We partnered with a group called Pause for Purple Hearts, and they're an organization here locally that combines veterans with service dogs. And so we did a psychotherapy group with them recently, and we worked through as a pups and PTSD. And so what we could do with that is we could really make some targeted calls for people who, hey, I know you just completed this treatment, or hey, I know that maybe this treatment wasn't for you at this time, but we've got this really cool event. We're bringing some dogs in. Do you want to try it? Do you at least want to get your feet wet in it? Come on. And there are these constant connection points. And so if you say, like, we follow up at 30, 60, 90 days, you know what? I'm sure we do, because that's our case management and they're amazing. But what we do is we continue to reach out to make sure that there are these points of connection. And that might be as simple as an email. That might be as powerful as a phone call, or it might be inviting them back in. We have a support group that happens the first Tuesday of the month up here, or the first Thursday of every month up here. We just open our community room up, and we have some peers who lead it. And it's points of connection is how we really make sure that that continues.
I'm just going to say social media too. I mean, if you get them to join social media and get them connected some way, that's an easy way to if they got a problem or issue, they can reach out to you that way too. So that's
absolutely
good.
Yeah. Yep.
Hey, sir, you know as well as I do, it's hard to get a service member or a veteran to ask for help, isn't it? I mean, I never asked for help after, two or three years. I'm not sure there's anybody going to help me anyway, but what do you think about it? You think that's one of the problems we have?
I'm going to make a referral right now for you to Mary Beth.
No, she would, I'd start to leave, she'd throw me back down or
if
something.
Anybody else is, if anybody goes straighten you out, it'd be Mary Beth.
I believe you, that's for sure.
We can do telehealth for you. No, you're exactly right, Sergeant Major, because, I may mention it, but I was in the military almost 35 years, and mental health was not in my leader toolkit. So I took, if someone wasn't performing, I took corrective action, hopefully in the right compassionately. But I never asked, what's that next question? Because if somebody's soldier has been a top performer, all of a sudden he's not performing, it's probably not necessarily related to work. It's probably, maybe his marriage is bad, his children are having trouble in school. Maybe his mom is now sick with cancer. 100 different things that I didn't do as a leader, kind of asking that question. Hopefully, looking, and you and I are still connected to the military because we're retirees, but, try to do a better job. So, that's where we try to have leaders talk about that, because you can have all kind of people talking about it, but if the leaders aren't talking about it, and personally, because like for me, I've had individual counseling, I have marriage counseling, I've been married 43 and a half years, I think, or something. And, I'm married to an angel, but I'm not an angel. So, we needed counseling, and it was better, and I was better for it. So I think just like you are very raw and emotional about your challenges, Sergeant Major, I think it's important, even though I'm long 15 years of retiree, I think it's still important to talk about that. Because a lot of people think, well, he was Sergeant Major of the Army. He never had any problems because look where he ended up. Well, your personal story and a lot of challenges going up for all of us. And so I think that's the biggest aspect of it, is that we all need to tell our story and encourage to take the first brave step. And to add a little bit about what Mary Beth talked about, the military cultural competency of our entire team, because we only see military-affiliated clients. One of Mary Beth's clinicians may at 9 o'clock be seeing a service member, an active duty member. It could be an Alaska National Guard member at 10. It could be a family member at 11 and a caregiver at 12. So the cultural competency, not only do we have a great training program, the experience of each of the clinicians as they're talking, that just builds that. And so you talked about your experience within 4 minutes, you knew that wasn't the right place for you with that particular clinicians. I think what the great value of our clinicians is that all of them now have experience at whatever you've experienced in the military, you know, they've had either a training or as a clinician heard about it. So to me, that's the biggest value of our, one of the biggest values of our team is their military cultural competency is off the scale and only improves every day.
Yeah. Well, real quick here, I've been married over 50 years, 56 years, and the key to success in marriage is she's always right, I'm always wrong. I make all the big decisions, they just never come up. So, you know, so we're always good. But going
love
back
that. We'll use yeah. that last one.
No, but I tell you, she's my best sounding board. And that she's honest with me. She'll tell me, like, you know, I remember one time I said, hey, I can't believe that soldier does that stuff. She said, well, I remember you doing that a few years ago. Wow, that was different, you know. But there's also a culture. There's also a culture that says, if I talk about it, I won't be promoted. If I talk about it, people are going to look at me differently. If I talk about it, you know, I'm not sure I'll get the right kind of assignments. And I think officers and senior non-commissioned officers worry about those kind of things, even though they don't say anything about them, but they worry about them. And then, you know, there's some things that people don't put on paper that they just talk about. So, you know, we all know that goes around, but do you think people do worry about those things?
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's part of it. Hopefully the culture of the military is different. And one of the things I really, and you and I get opportunity to talk to people and particularly veterans transitioning out. And I talk about the importance of you, the veterans getting care for their families, because you owe it to your family. And Mary Beth's a great example of it. My family's a great example and your family move all around the country, sometimes all around the world. And then you retire and you bring some of the baggage with you into your future relationships, and you owe it to your family to get better for them. I mean, they've done everything in the world for you. You know this, our families serve just like we do. And so I think that's one of the ways that sometimes veterans will listen because, oh, I'm doing this not just for me, but for my family. So Will Beth has a lot of experience with that, but that's been the way I kind of capture it is, it's not just for you, but your family and the impact you'll have.
I agree 100%. I had a guest on the show the other day, and I won't tell you who it was, but he was talking about he went through Vietnam and he come back, and he was probably the worst husband in the world. He didn't physically abuse, but he was just a terrible husband and divorced his first wife. And he talked about apologizing to his wife about the way he treated her, because he went through those kind of struggles and he didn't know what was going on, and she took the brunt of everything, you know. And so I thought that was pretty interesting. I've said it before, we need to be honest about how we feel and talk about how we feel. I think talking about these kind of things is therapy. It's certainly therapy for me. Hey, Mary Beth, PTSD wasn't even recognized officially as a diagnosis until I think it was 1980. We've come a long way since then. What are some of the most important advances you've seen in diagnosis treatment in the years at the Cone Veteran Network?
So one of the things that we do is we make sure all of our therapists and all of the agencies that we work with have opportunities to train higher. There's a famous hockey coach who talks about bouncing forward. And that's what I think we've learned from all of this is we need to fall forward. We need to bounce forward. You might think you're an expert, and we get a lot of people who come to the Cone Veterans Network working wise, and they're like, oh no, I know PTSD. It's my jam. It's what I do. And then you get them into a training and they're like, maybe I don't know it all. Yeah. So one of the things, I probably should have talked about this earlier, but one of the things I really admire about the network is we are never good enough. Yeah. There's always a place to go up to. That doesn't mean, you know, suck less, do more. It means tomorrow we can be better. And so if we're doing a training and we realize, oh, there's a new modality, we're going to incorporate it in. If we're doing a service delivery and we realize, hey, there's a new study out here, this client's not responding well, is there a different, like, can I refer them to a provider who does a little bit different modality? Is there a different evidence-based care? And so as we look at this, I think humility on the clinician part is probably the greatest advancement that CVN has been able to bring to this. And I know that sounds odd, but it used to be we wouldn't talk to our clients about what we put in our notes. Like I might write a note and I joke when I put some of these trainings about, I used to use the word anhedonia. I worked in an ER in a very military town in Northern Virginia and I used it. And you know what it means? It means they're not waking up. It means they're sad. It means they're not doing a lot with their activities of daily living, right? Not showering, whatever. It took me 3 years as a licensed clinician before I finally understood that word. Those days are gone. We are so humble with each other. I have been licensed for well over 25 years now, and I still go to consultation. I still look at people who either have newer, more, or peer level knowledge that I have, and we review cases. We do not bring our ego to the treatment table anymore. Clients are allowed to see our notes. We have this fantastic evidence-based model called collaborative documentation. So if you and I were talking, you would see everything I'm writing and you'd be like, Marybeth, that's not what I said. Okay, well, it's what I heard. So let's talk about this, because if you don't want it in the note, let's figure out a way to make sure I can remember what we talked about. But let's figure out a way that it feels better, because if I wrote something to the effect of client presents as angry, and you're like, I am not angry. Let's talk about this, right? Maybe the world is perceiving something. Maybe I can be a mirror for you. And really losing, like increasing transparency, losing the ego of the therapist and bringing these evidence-based treatments has been magical. It is not what happens behind a closed door stays there anymore. It's what happens behind a closed door needs to be improved on. And how do we do that?
Yeah, I've never heard anybody talk like that, as far as, you know, look at this is what you said, you know, or what that's really a great idea, because it's very open, just like you said, very transparent. Hey, with,
absolutely.
I more people ought to do that. When I was counseling people when I was in the Army, I'd write my own counseling. I don't think I ever let anybody look at a counseling statement, but it would have been a good idea to do that. So, hey, what's some of the misconceptions about surrounded PTSD? Is there some?
You know, I think the biggest one is that, you know, what the movies portray, what media portrays.
Yeah.
You know, we are not, individuals who struggle with PTSD are not going to just lose their minds and shoot people at random. There's no violent whatever. In fact, most of the clients we see with PTSD have more self-control than any other human being I've ever seen, because they are keeping it so bottled up. And they are so controlled, and they're not going to show anyone what's really happening under the surface. I think the other big stereotype is it is not fixable. I appreciate that when we talk, we don't talk about a cure. And I know that. And part of that is rooted in many different political and things. But the reality is we treat people who can experience remission from PTSD. You can be symptom-free for years. You can learn to identify when an event is going to bring up some of those feelings and really kind of attack with the new skill set that you have to get through that event at a much lower elevated frustration level. You have the ability to walk away from the trauma and become the person you and your family desperately want you to become the person that you know you are, without having this black cloud of PTSD symptoms every single day.
Yeah, I'm so glad you said it, because I tell everybody, I've lived with it for a long, long time. I've learned how to shelf it. And I know when it's coming on. And the only reaction I usually have, you see me a little while ago, I'll tear up at stuff like that. And I know when something's going to happen. So I'll just, you know, either won't engage or just turn away and get away from what the issue is. Because I'm not sure what I'd do if I stayed right there and engage with it. And I'm not sure what would happen. I'm too old to have anything happen to me any now. But that's tough. And I think, again, I'm glad that you said that you just learn how to live with it. Really, that's the bottom line, and that's all you can do. But I think the key, though, to success is general, what you said before, is talk about it. Don't just hold it in. Talk about it and tell people how you feel, and be very honest and straightforward. And then on the other side of that is we need people to listen. Listen to the kind of things that you have problems. Sometimes, years ago, I don't know if you used to run into this, but I'd talk about some stuff that happened, and if that person had not went through those kind of things. They'll sort of, well, yeah, that's good, and sort of change the subject and get into something else. And so, it's tough. Hey, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love for each of you to share. We've been talking about a lot, maybe not negative stuff, but things that are maybe struggles for people. Some success stories. I know you guys got a lot of them. So something like illustrates that the Cohen Veteran Network provides that it is really making the difference in the lives of so many people. So I know you're a good soldier, Mary Beth. At least you'll follow the general's lead. I hope. Stay right there. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Now here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Quality insurance will set you up for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Blue Cross and Blue Shield has demonstrated for decades.
It adds to your longevity of life because we want to be there for our loved ones. We want to be there for our family.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed here today with Dr. Mary Beth Goodman, Clinic Director at the Stephen A. Cohen Military Family Clinic at Alaska Behavioral Health, and Brigadier General Retired Michael P. Fleming, Senior Manager, Community Relations for the Cohen Veteran Network. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please let me know what you'd like us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back. And I'm like Mary Beth. I'll be aggressive. Reach back out to you. Mary Beth, is there a success story? We've been talking about a lot of stuff now. Is there a success story you in the years you've been working at Cohen Veteran that you'd share with the audience right now? Tell me some positive things. I love stories. I love great stories.
Absolutely. And with all success stories, sometimes there's a little bit of sadness when you start. But we were working with a gentleman a couple years back, and he'd given his whole life to the service, right? His time, his body, his identity, loyalty. He really believed that he was part of this permanent, force of nature that is the military, and it would always take care of its own. But as this gentleman transitioned out, he came to face the reality that a lot of veterans face, and that's the military's a machine. Missions continue, units move on, people separate, and sometimes the individual who believes they've sacrificed everything maybe feels forgotten the moment that uniform comes off. Some of the words he used to use were, I'm grieving a family that's still alive. I think our kids nowadays would say he was ghosted, functioning really well, had a job, had income, had this, had that. But that inner hurt just grew and grew until it really became a suicide attempt. And again, thankfully, with a lot of absolute grace, this gentleman did not pass on. But when he came to work on some of these things, it really was rebuilding connection, rebuilding purpose, understanding that these amazing personality traits and things that made him so successful in the military were even more valued in the outside world. That his life still mattered, that his skill set still mattered. And what I've got to say is this is something we see a lot. We see individuals who that suicide risk gradually incurs and they don't really understand. But, you talked about you have to find your tribe. When people feel disillusionment and the loss of their tribe and moral injury, they believe that once that military mission ends, they don't matter anymore. And so counseling and support and help, this is an individual who is thriving in the world and actually functions as a peer in two other VSOs, veteran service organizations, guiding people who went through the transition he went through much more successfully, giving them a soft place to land. And it is just a joy to watch this individual navigating the community here and blossoming into the person that our community desperately needs and that his family desperately needed.
Yeah, I they may be doing it now, and I don't know. I wonder if we talk about how people are going to go, what people are going to go through when they get out of the military now. General, I don't even know if they do or don't. Do you know if they talk about what you're going to go through when you transition out of the military?
I think there's still a transition program for each of the services, but let me say this. It's my experience personally, and also seeing it's a mixed bag.
But I don't think they talk about anything that you're going to go through, though. I don't think, other than if you have a mentor.
It's emotional. I think it's almost a resource listing.
That's right.
Not this is what you're going to feel or anything. So that's one of the challenges I think our transitioning veterans or transitioning service members go through.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, sir, how about you? Any success stories or anything you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, I want to take a little bit different tact. My role, like I said, I get to the most fun job. I get to work with all the clinics. And so it was neat. We talked a little bit about our Manhattan, Kansas clinic we just opened up. When we're looking at a new area, I get to be kind of the scout and go out. So January of last year, we went and we visited with a lot of different organizations. And we're fortunate to meet Colonel Manuel Castillo. He's the commander of the Fort Riley Army Hospital there. Tremendous leader. I'm just enthusiastic, really, that. So we kind of talked about what we wanted to do and vision for a Cohen clinic. And frankly, when a lot of people hear first about what we're talking about going in an area, they frankly don't believe it because a lot of people make a lot of promises. And so we went there, and then within a little over a year, we'd opened the clinic. And so at the grand opening, I was there, and then Colonel Castillo walked up. And then also talking to Dr. Anthony Nasson, our CEO, he looked at us and said, you did exactly what you said you were going to do. And one of the great things I think we do is we have a lot of great, particularly in, for currently serving members, we have a lot of great, behavioral health personnel of all the services trying to do the best they can. But as you probably know, Sergeant Major, and I think it's 2018, 2019, there was a tremendous cut in the number of uniformed military medical personnel. With the theory that, you can go, that families and retirees like you and me can go out into the community. And so every behavioral health person like Mary Beth, whether it be in uniform or not, want to do the best. And so it was really gratifying for us to see we can help Colonel Castillo help the soldiers of Fort Riley. We are a support to him. So that, in my mind, is a real success story because he and his team are just knocking out of the park. He is trying to think of creative things. He talked about the fact that sometimes he had to send soldiers and refer family members, 60, 70, 80 miles away. Well, all of a sudden, now we got a Cohen clinic that is literally 10 minutes from the fort. So one of our success stories is not only the individual clients like Mary Beth described, but the bigger, military support system. We're something that didn't exist 10 years ago. And now because we exist, we fill an important gap, and we're helping the other great behavioral health uniform personnel with their challenges. So to me, that's a big success story for us, more in the strategic realm and helping individuals like Colonel Castillo better support the soldiers and families at Fort Riley.
Well, I'm sure you changed a lot of lives of a lot of different people, families, active duty, veterans and stuff. And I know you're doing a tremendous job. So, from this old soldier, I'd just say thank you for what you're doing and what you continue to do. You guys are just amazing. It's an amazing organization, and you're both amazing people. There's no question on mind about that. Hey, one last thing before we wrap it up. As we tape this, our country is currently involved in a conflict in the Middle East. We all know that. Mary Beth, have you seen an increased request of military families coming to visit you and talk about issues maybe they have?
We have. We're seeing a lot of angst, whether that be anxiety or just adjustment. But we're seeing a lot of families who are just struggling with what really does come next. And I think that's a very natural emotion. I think that is absolutely something that every single military family whose spouse or whose service member is going to deploy feels. That is so typical. So it really is so appropriate to come get help for that and early.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't wait too long. Hey, does the extra caseload put a strain on your staff and the resources that you have, though?
No, we are so fortunate. We have the privilege that once we get to a certain what we call utilization rate, we can simply ask for another therapist to hire on. So the way the Cohen Network looks forward is they truly believe that a wait list is barrier to care. And so we do everything we can to not have a wait list. We have, again, it's just a different way of thinking about care. It just really is. We always have openings. You could call the clinic this morning and get in this afternoon.
That's perfect. That is really perfect. Hey, if someone wants to get in touch with either because they need support or maybe they want help, could you please give me a website? I used to ask for a phone number. Everybody got mad. They don't use phones anymore, I guess. So what's the website?
It's CohenVeteransNetwork.org. And when you go on there, it'll be locate a clinic and you click on that and it'll show the 23 locations and whichever one is best for you. And we have some states, I think of South Carolina, Arizona, Kentucky, where we don't have a physical clinic in those states, but we have telehealth capabilities and up into Pennsylvania, New Jersey. So when you look at the map, it'll tell you where we are. And then you can locate a clinic, go right there and then call. We have great personnel that's going to answer the phone and start you, as we talked about, back to better.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, this has been a great discussion. Do any of you have any final thoughts? Maybe something you want to share with the audience? And Mary Beth, we've been going to you first all the time. So this time, sir, we're going to let you go first.
That's a lot of pressure. Well, Major, the whole team, thank you so much for what you're doing. You continue to serve the military with these kinds of podcasts. And then I would just say, and our theme has been the whole time is, whether you're a service member or a military family member, reach out to get help if you need it. And then, you know, Cohen Veterans Network, we do great work, but there are other organizations. The VA is a great partner because, unfortunately, we need everyone pitching in, particularly from the mental health side. So, you know, for the service members and their families, if you need help, please reach out because, like I said, you know, I've had both individual counseling, marriage counseling. It makes a difference. And you owe it to your family to do that. So thank you again. And that would be my message is reach out if you need help.
Well, sir, just going back to that marriage counsel, I told you before, the best thing to do is she's always right, you're always wrong.
Well, I got two words for my wife. Yes, ma'am. So that seems to me.
There you go. Mary Beth, how about yourself? Any final thoughts?
You know, I want to go back to that one moment where you showed such vulnerability and you let some of that emotion and passion about mental health come forward. And I would say if individuals are having those moments and they find that they just have to pull them back in and be very restrained, that's a really good sign of there's someone out there who will listen to your story, who will listen to you talk and has the skills to help you through it. If you're doing that 5 and 6 times a week, we can help you. There is something better than having to suck that back in and always feel like you're fragile in those moments. We've got your back.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I don't do it very often. I mean, it depends. Sometimes on the show, they maybe talk about things that bring back old memories and I get a little choked up. I get a little choked up. But I got to tell you something. When I give it a speech, it really is pretty effective. Most people are listening a lot more. So, I mean, I have advantage of that, too.
Yeah.
There you go. Hey, this has been a great, you guys have been great guests, both of you. And everyone at the Cohen Veteran Network continue to do great work for our veterans and families. And thanks for all you do and all your partnership. I can't thank you enough. And keep doing what you're doing because you're making a difference in the lives of so many. So just thanks again for coming on the show. And I don't know if I should say this because you've been on the show 3 times, but come on back.
We'll do it.
Okay, I appreciate it. God bless you. Have a great day.
Appreciate you.
Thanks again to Dr. Mary Beth Goodman and Brigadier General Retired Michael Fleming for being with us. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. You've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast, and thank you for joining us. Log on our website, yournextmission.org, and check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military and Offline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job in real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you appreciate what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Mary Beth and Brigadier General Fleming for joining us. And I'll tell you what, this was a great discussion. It talked about what they're doing, the Cohen Veteran Network is doing to help our veterans, families, active duty personnel. And you've seen me when I was talking. I struggle a little bit. I still do. And after, you know, 50, 60 years, I still get emotional about stuff. That doesn't mean I'm weak. That just means that maybe I do have an issue. But I've been able to, and I love the fact that Mary Beth said you can, you know, it never goes away. You can learn to live with it. That's the bottom line. And you can live with it. But sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need somebody to talk to. Sometimes you need somebody that understands exactly what your issues are. And just don't try to fix it by yourself. You know, I was probably crazy. Of course, my wife kept me in line, but I tried to fix it by myself, and I probably struggled a lot more than I should have struggled, but I got through it, and you can get through it. So I'd simply say you're not alone. You'll never be alone. There's always somebody there that wants to help you and loves you, so reach out to them. Thanks for watching our show, and thanks to Bungalow Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEB Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEB Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.